This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
McConnell wags a finger. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, February 9th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is criticizing the Republican National Committee for censuring two of its members because of opposing views.
More states are dropping indoor mask mandates. New York and Illinois are the latest with plans to loosen restrictions.
Ukraine plans military exercises in response to Russia. Meanwhile, Tennessee Congressman Mark Green is here to analyze the U.S. involvement.
And a different way to cruise, a trip by cargo ship.
They can be really as long as you'd like them to be. It depends where you want to go. So throughout Europe, you know, they do trips around from, you know, Germany up to Norway, for instance, and back. But you can travel all the way from Europe to Australia if you wanted to.
Katie Dayton at the Wall Street Journal on cargo ship travelers hoping for a reversal of COVID bans. Suggesting the Republican National Committee overstepped its bounds, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has criticized the RNC's censure of two House GOP lawmakers who sit on the committee investigating last January's attack on the Capitol. Mr. McConnell says the RNC shouldn't single them out for holding differing views from the majority of the party.
Traditionally, the view of the National Party Committees is that we support all members of our party, regardless of their positions on some issues.
A resolution calling for the censure of Congresswoman Liz Cheney of Wyoming and Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois passed Friday in a voice vote during a meeting of the committee in Salt Lake City. The RNC is closely tied to former President Trump, who congratulated the RNC for the vote. The text of the resolution accused Ms. Cheney and Mr. Kinzinger of disloyalty to the party for serving on the January 6th panel. Armed forces in Ukraine are preparing to conduct military exercises in response to Russia's troop buildup along its borders. Separately, U.S. lawmakers negotiating a Russia sanctions bill are nearing an agreement. Here's Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
It is moving along, but there are still a couple of areas of disagreement. But they're bridging the gap. They're getting closer and closer.
Meanwhile, is there a better way for the U.S. to manage how Russia is threatening Ukraine? Analysis from Congressman Mark Green, a Republican from Tennessee on the House Armed Services Committee. Mark, explain the U.S. involvement.
There are a lot of reasons. One, despots around the world are watching this. If we let it go unanswered, and of course, I want to make sure everybody understands, we're not talking about putting American troops on the ground in Ukraine. They're not an ally, but having Putin seize an entire country is going to embolden him. It's going to embolden China and Taiwan. So we've got to push back some, and of course that means lethal aid and helping the Ukrainians fight with assistance. Yeah, I think what I want to tell Americans is, look, you know, twice last century we waited too long, and some hegemon kind of tried to take over Europe, and it wound up costing us hundreds of thousands of lives each time because we came to the table too late. If we can block Putin and keep him from, you know, make the cost too high, and he doesn't go into Ukraine, that's peace and stability that will benefit us long term. And of course, you know, his buildup in Belarus is right next to Poland, our NATO ally. I served with Poles in Afghanistan and Iraq. Those guys came to our aid when we were attacked. So putting troops there is the right thing to do.
Okay, so if you could, I don't know, have the reins yourself here in terms of driving this, what would you implement today, or what would you tell Putin today? Would there sanctions that you would put into effect today?
Well, I would certainly tell him that Nord Stream 2 is a no-go if he invades. I mean, we will do everything we can to stop that. I believe that this is really about energy as much as it is about Putin's obsession with, you know, vengeance for what happened to the USSR.
Yeah.
But the lethal aid, I'd give the Ukrainians all that they asked for, that's within reason. And, you know, again, I think putting troops in the surrounding NATO countries to make sure he doesn't get, you know, emboldened to go further than just Ukraine, I think that's critical.
All right, so the Nord Stream pipeline, obviously that's a Germany-Russia thing, and it didn't sound like Germany was overwhelmingly in favor of suspending the service if this thing gets implemented later this year. I mean, is Germany a reliable partner in this?
You know, it's a good question, Gordon. I think they've come around. It took them a little while, but now just this week they announced that they would shut down Nord Stream 2 if he invades. So that puts us in a much better place. Before, they had vacillated a little bit. I'm glad to hear that they're on the, you know, back at the table now.
We're speaking with Tennessee Congressman Mark Green. He's a member of the House Armed Services Committee. We're talking about Russia and Ukraine. If Ukraine were in NATO, obviously that'd be a kick in the shins to Mr. Putin. But does Ukraine belong in NATO? Would you want to see them there?
You know, that's a question that I don't think anyone's answered, and NATO's been sort of working through that issue. There was some corruption issues in the government. You know, those kinds of things, I think, are improving. I met with Zelensky when I was over there. You know, he's doing everything he can to stamp out corruption. But clearly, whether or not they join NATO, I don't think is a decision that's been made. I will say that NATO has a right to add any country it wants. When that country wants to join, I mean, a sovereign nation has a right to be an ally with whomever they want to be an ally with. We can't let Putin just dictate who our alliances are with.
Yeah.
And so the overriding thought is that principle. Now, and that means we don't give Putin promises about Ukraine. But I don't know if Ukraine will eventually be in NATO either. So there's that.
So think if you could, like a, you know, like an ex-KGB guy, how does Putin save face now if he sees that he's not going to get what he wants? Because that's going to be an important thing here. He has to get, I think in his mind, he has to get something.
Yeah, I think that's the operative question, right? And Blinken, when he sent the document, you know, it got leaked, but they sent a document to Russia. In that document, there were concessions, and the concessions were that we would negotiate on the missiles, where we put missiles in Europe, and where we do military exercises, which up until that document that went out, the U.S. had insisted we wouldn't even talk about that. So he could walk away right now and say, I got concessions. And that's his face saving. And then let's say he doesn't invade. We continue to build up Ukraine. We make it impossible in the future. So that would be the best case scenario, I think, right now out of all this. Otherwise, he's coming into Ukraine.
So just finish up, if you would. Late January, you're overseas. Among the cities you hit is Kiev. Did you learn anything new while you were there?
You know, the interesting thing there was lots new to learn. You know, it's a democratic country. They had a peaceful transition of power. And the people in Ukraine are, you know, they have fallen in love with their democracy and freedom. They don't want Putin, even the Russian speakers, contrary to what Putin is saying. The Russian speakers are like, we will fight to the death. Mm. You know, the last thing we want is Russia, but, you know, the dictatorship of Vladimir Putin in charge of Ukraine. So, you know, that was informational. The other thing, from a historical standpoint, there's a statue in Ukraine next to the St. Sophia Church, which, interestingly enough, I think was built in like 1050 A.D. The statue is a guy pointing on a horseback, pointing toward Moscow. And it's to symbolize the fact that Kyiv actually, while undergoing attacks from the Ottoman Empire and the Cossacks, went north and founded Moscow. So this Russian Putin narrative that somehow historically Ukraine is Russian is absolutely blatantly false, because the Ukrainians are the ones, the Kyiv Rus, went and formed Russia.
Thanks, Mark. Tennessee Congressman Mark Green, member of the House Armed Services Committee. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. New York Governor Kathy Hochul is dropping the state's indoor mask mandate today, ending a requirement that businesses ask customers for proof of full vaccination or require mask wearing at all times. But the New York Times says it's not clear yet whether the governor would renew or drop a separate mask mandate in New York schools that is set to expire in 2 weeks. The decision in New York comes as Democratic-led states from New Jersey to California have announced similar moves this week in a loosely coordinated effort. Meanwhile, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky says now is not the moment to drop mask mandates in schools and other public places.
I don't think we're there right now. I know people are cautiously optimistic. I am cautiously optimistic about watching our cases come down, and they've come down quite a bit. But we're still at 290,000 cases a day.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is expected to unveil a plan today to also drop the state's indoor mask mandate in most settings, but not public schools. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell admonished the Republican National Committee for voting to censure two of the party's members, Representatives Liz Cheney of Wyoming and Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, over their participation in the House probe of the January 6th Capitol riot. McConnell also pushed back on the language of the RNC's resolution, which used the words legitimate political discourse to describe the events of January 6th.
It was a violent insurrection for the purpose of trying to prevent the peaceful transfer of power after a legitimately certified election from one administration to the next.
Cheney and Kinzinger are the only Republicans on the House committee which is investigating the deadly riot.
Number two.
President Biden plans to engage with French President Emmanuel Macron soon about Macron's visit with Russian President Putin. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says Macron and Biden remain in close contact about the possible threat of a Russian invasion into Ukraine.
We still don't have any prediction of what President Putin will do. We can't control what Russia will do next.
Meanwhile, Ukraine's armed forces geared up for military exercises in response to Russia's troop buildup.
Number three.
Canadian lawmakers are expressing increasing worry about the economic effects of disruptive demonstrations after the busiest border crossing between the U.S. and Canada became partially blocked by truckers protesting vaccine mandates and other COVID restrictions. The blockade at the Ambassador Bridge between Detroit and Windsor, Ontario, prevented traffic from entering Canada. The bridge carries 25% of all trade between the U.S. and Canada. The House has passed legislation designed to keep the U.S. Postal Service financially viable, including by repealing a requirement that it pre-fund retiree health benefits. The measure now goes to the Senate, where it has broad support. The cash-strapped agency has been reporting losses for years, stemming from a drop in first-class mail and the requirement to pre-fund some benefits. On day six, the U.S. finally has its first Olympic gold medal. Lindsay Jacobellis captured America's first gold, riding hard to the line in her snowboard cross final, a full 16 years after a mistake cost her the title. The victory came after skier Michaela Schifrin skidded out and failed to finish the first run of the slalom. Sean White and Chloe Kim advanced to the finals of the men's and women's halfpipe competitions.
All right. Thank you, Jen. Thanks for joining us. Though standard cruises are back, business is nearly non-existent for freighter travel agencies that book passage on the most basic of international journeys. More about cargo ship cruises from Katie Dayton, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Katie, how do these cruises work?
You jump on board a cargo ship and go with it wherever it's going. And you do get to stay on board, and you have a little officer cabin, and that is about it. It is a cruise without any of the luxuries that we expect of a cruise.
So I immediately thought, okay, you're stuck in the cargo hold, you're fighting off rats, it stinks, it's moist, but I guess that's not the case.
No, not the case. The berth that they give to paying passengers on some of these ships, only about 1% of the freighters that are sailing right now offer passenger travel. But you get a fairly large room and with a bathroom and great views from what I've heard. No sort of having to pay extra for a great view of the ocean like you do on some cruise liners. And you get a little recreation room where you can listen to CDs and watch DVDs, play games, play ping pong. But of course, all of these things sound a little bit old-fashioned because they don't rely on the internet. There is no internet on the vast majority of these ships. And you just have to learn to keep yourselves entertained in the old-fashioned way.
Wow. So when I started reading it, I immediately thought, these must be long. Like, in some cases, right, you're going halfway across the world. How long are these trips?
Well, they can be really as long as you'd like them to be. It depends where you want to go. So throughout Europe, they do trips around from, you know, Germany up to Norway, for instance, and back. But you can travel all the way from Europe to Australia if you wanted to on a freighter ship. Stopping at ports on the way, it's just really dependent on the ship's own navigational plans and where you want to go to. But it's hard to book in the sense that the departure and disembarkation dates can change very short notice. Uh-huh. And you are very much at you are secondary to the cargo. Yeah. They will take the cargo where it needs to go, not you where you need to go.
Got it. And so does that mean that these cargo type trips are affordable or cheap?
Not exactly. They're not maybe as cheap as you'd think they would be. The sort of average cost is around sort of $120 to $130. That is, however,
per day.
And that is for your accommodation and your food and, of course, your travel. But it can really rack up, especially if you're spending months on board these ships. Say you're doing like a 60-day cruise. You know, that can be a lot of money and pretty unaffordable for some people. And for most people, you know, no Wi-Fi on board. There's absolutely no hope that you're going to be able to do some work from home while you're there as well. So for that reason, a lot of the people most likely to take these cruise ships are retirees and students if they can afford them.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Dayton, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We all have a lot going on. The last thing we need is to spend too much energy choosing what to wear. But if you have a closet full of Cuts clothing, it's easy. Throw on anything and you'll look good. How do they do it? Every Cuts shirt is designed for a modern, tailored fit. They're insanely comfortable. I can't believe how soft their shirts feel. Between the fabric and the fit, they're the most comfortable shirts I've ever worn. Plus, Cuts has all the essentials for looking sharp, like tees, hoodies, polos, and more. And they reinvented them all, from how they're cut to the revolutionary fabrics they use. They won't shrink, pill, or fade over time in the wash. Mine still look and feel great. Try them for yourself and save. Join hundreds of thousands of guys who've made the simple decision to elevate their wardrobe with Cuts. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S, cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
The top stories and expert interviews that make sense of what you care about. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday, February 9. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. McConnell criticizes the RNC for censuring two House members. New York and Illinois, the latest to drop indoor mask mandates. U.S. trade deficit up to its highest level in 16 years. The average weekly pay for traveling nurses in December was nearly $3,300 a week as hospitals dealt with staff shortages. Chipotle warning of more price increases. It's National Pizza Day. Watch for promotions and discounts. And the pop singer who stopped her concert to help a struggling fan. That story in about 20 minutes. The former NFL quarterback Ron Jaworski will have one eye on the Super Bowl and another eye on heart health, since February is Heart Health Month. He spent 17 seasons as a pro, mostly with the Eagles. He's also an ESPN commentator and host of a health education podcast called True to Your Heart. We'll get to football in just a moment. Ron, how'd you get involved in heart health?
I was fortunate as an NFL quarterback for 17 years to be able to get, you know, the best care humanly possible from doctors and specialists and athletic trainers. I always had the best treatment. But when you retire from the game as an active player, you don't get that treatment. And I think everyone's health, not only at professional athletes, but as you get older, you need someone to formulate a game plan for you, a health game plan. And being with Amarin and doing this podcast, I've learned so much from the experts that we've had on the show. The cardiologists, the doctors are just phenomenal. And, you know, we have the podcast True to Your Heart, and people, you can go to that. You can go to trueyourheart.com and learn about what we've done. So I really have learned so much. And getting the message out is so important.
What was the biggest change then, on a related note, that you made from being an invincible type NFL guy to, you know, somebody retired and, you know, it's kind of, I hate to say it, well past his prime at this point?
Yeah, thanks. but what I did
takes one to know one.
That's correct. What I did is I went to my doctor. That was the first thing I did. I went to my doctor and we talked about a plan. Had all the tests done, you know, where my blood pressure was, everything was done, and we formulated a plan. And I'm sticking to that plan. And all my statistics are now better. And as a quarterback, you always look at stats. As a human being, you should look at stats as well and have a doctor form that plan. And that's what I did. And my stats have gotten a lot better, you know, in the last 5 months. So we did it together by having a plan.
Mm. We're speaking with Ron Jaworski, former NFL quarterback, also host of a podcast called True to Your Heart about health education. Change hats. Let's talk about football for just a minute. It's such a quarterback league right now. Do you like it the way it is?
I absolutely love the NFL right now. I don't want to be one of those old guys that, the game has changed from when I played it. And, you know, I played when you could hit the quarterback. But I love the way the game is being played. The creativity on offense, the dynamic quarterbacks that we now see almost week in and week out. You know, the college conduit is now filled with young, talented quarterbacks. I actually think the game is absolutely much more exciting than maybe when I played. And that's a guy that played 17 years in the league saying that. So I like the game right now.
Yeah, I mean, you played at a rough time. Do you recall, I'm sure you do, but tell me the time, I guess, when you got hit so hard, where you sacked or strip sacked or whatever, hit blindside, that you actually thought your career was over when you hit the ground?
Well, I didn't think my career was ever over after some of the hits, but there were some hits. Guys like Lawrence Taylor and Randy White and Mike Hartenstein with hits that knocked me out, but I came back and finished. But that was just part of the game. It's what it was. It was football. You dust off and get back on the field. But I remember those hits very well, Gordon.
Smelling salts, right? Hurry up, Ron. Get back in. It's different now. Now you got to go in the tent.
Yeah,
that's
what they did.
Concussion protocol and stuff is totally different.
Well, they used to ask you your wife's name. You say Liz, and you go back in the game.
Tell me how you see Bengals Rams on Sunday.
First of all, I'm excited that it's the Cincinnati Bengals. You probably think I'm crazy, but I like to see new blood, new teams, new city. You see how Cincinnati, the town, the region, is going crazy over the Bengals. So I'm excited for the Bengals, and I think that excitement is going to carry over to the game. I'm going to go with the Bengals, Gordon. 31-30 over the Rams.
Wow. Why have the Bengals suddenly gone from like the worst team 2 years ago to suddenly contending, you know, for a Super Bowl championship? What is it about them?
It's never one thing, but they got a terrific coach in Zach Taylor. You know, you got a terrific quarterback in Joe Burrow, great wide receiver in Ja'Marr Chase, and all the complimentary players around them, and a good front office that drafted right and built the team around young players.
If you hadn't finish up with this, if you hadn't spent so much time with the Eagles, was there another team you would have preferred to have been with? Not to disparage the Eagles, but was it another team like you were enamored with or anything like that?
Yeah, Gordon, and this will probably shock some people. The Buffalo Bills. I was born and raised in Buffalo, so I always wanted to play for my hometown team. Didn't happen.
There you go. Thanks, Jaws. Ron Jaworski, former NFL quarterback. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Wednesday. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, by now we're used to seeing skiers take a tumble while attempting to navigate Olympics courses at breakneck speeds, but it was a piece of expensive electronics in danger that had viewers wincing recently. Last week, millions of viewers cringed as a digital camera that apparently slipped from a photographer's grasp and tumbled over and over and over again around 200 feet down a ski slope outside of Beijing. A video posted by NBC Olympics quickly went viral with nearly 500,000 views. Some compared the fall to the infamous Agony of Defeat ski jump crash from 5 decades ago.
Jeez.
A photography website identified the camera as a state-of-the-art Sony Alpha worth up to $8,700, making it a potentially very expensive accident. Good news, though, the camera kept on ticking after the tumble. The Canadian photographer who lost the camera posted later that he contacted the Sony service department at the Olympics, and they told him the camera and lens were not severely damaged, needing just some relatively minor repairs. Even better news, all the images that he recorded were also fine. He said the camera was fixed quickly and back on the slopes the next day.
Wow. Okay.
It is cringy though, especially for those of us who have, you know, lost our iPhones and, you know, pools like I did, or dropped them in the toilet or whatever. You know, your electronics, seeing expensive electronics like that, you know, kind of breaking because pieces of it were flying off
as it was tumbling
down that hill.
Yeah.
And you're just expecting, you know, and then, you know, what happens if a skier comes down and, you know, makes contact with it?
Yeah.
Lots of bad things can happen there.
I vividly remember that skiing accident though from the Agony of Defeat video you referenced.
Yes.
Oh man, just thinking of that guy. It was a guy from Slovenia, right? That wasn't even the Olympics. It was like I think they called it a ski flying championship back then. But his wipeout was, oh man, he's going down the face of that hill, which is like, I don't know, 0 degrees. It's just.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of that wide world of sports intro for how many years, right?
Forever.
We just couldn't get enough of it.
Right, and I think he was concussion and a broken ankle.
Right.
When I watched it, I thought he's dead.
No,
it's not
amazing.
Surviving that
the skiers,
thing.
They're obviously used to falling, so they know how to fall properly so that they don't hurt themselves, because they don't generally get very, very hurt, thankfully, most of the time.
Thanks to today's helmets.
Yes. Mostly. And when humans of a certain age wanted to get in the mood for love back in the day, they might put on a Marvin Gaye record and let nature take its course. Now one British zoo is hoping that strategy will work for its population of endangered monkeys. The Trentham Monkey Forest hired a Marvin Gaye impersonator to perform selections from the Soul Legends catalog, including Let's Get It On and Sexual Healing, inside of the monkey habitat. The park's director said on the zoo website that they thought it could be a creative way to encourage the females to show a little affection to the males that might not have been so lucky in love. This breed of monkey is endangered, so every little bit helps. He says that they'll find out whether this attempt to jumpstart the monkey population had any effect when the birthing season arrives in late spring.
Okay, so my question is, Marvin Gaye?
Yeah.
Look at Barry White?
No, I mean, Marvin Gaye is right up there. You definitely cannot diss Marvin Gaye when it comes to, you know, love songs.
I'm not dissing Marvin Gaye. I'm just saying if monkeys need a little help.
Yeah.
I think I'm spinning the Barry Gaye. Barry White, sorry.
Either one helps, but I mean, Marvin Gaye is right up there. You know, Barry White's great, but Marvin Gaye is unassailable when it comes to this sort of thing.
I don't think the female monkeys could say no when Barry White goes deep with the voice.
I see.
I don't see them resisting that. Yeah. Thanks, Mike. So I got to say, 2022 kind of feels like Groundhog Day. Wake up, read a headline about inflation, repeat, right? Inflation on the rise. At the fastest pace in 40 years. But you don't need to check the price of organic eggs to know it's probably not the best time to put all your investment eggs in one basket. I'm talking about diversifying your portfolio. And thanks to today's sponsor, Masterworks, you can now add an exciting asset class to your portfolio, blue chip artwork. Masterworks is the new investing platform that lets everyone invest in contemporary art from icons like Picasso, Monet, and Warhol. In fact, early investors already have seen over 30% net annualized IRR in 2020 and 2021 from the sale of two paintings. No wonder the Wall Street Journal recently called the art market among the hottest markets on earth. Our listeners can join over 300,000 members and access their latest offerings at masterworks.art/Gordon. That's masterworks.art/Gordon. See important disclaimers at masterworks.io/disclaimer. Thanks for being with us. Whoever thought that lying around could help you lose weight? A new study says you can lose weight from sleeping by extending your sleep time so you're not sleep deprived. That's the startling outcome of a randomized trial that asked young, overweight adults who typically slept less than 6.5 hours to try to sleep about 8.5 hours a night for 2 weeks. At the end of that short amount of time, many of those who did extend their sleep to a healthier length decreased their caloric intake by an average of 270 calories a day. The findings were published in the journal JAMA Internal Medicine. The study found that some of the study participants cut their intake by 500 calories each day. The researchers calculated that by eating 270 fewer calories a day, that would translate to a loss of 26 pounds over 3 years. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Justice Department has announced its largest ever financial seizure, more than $3.6 billion, and the arrests of a New York couple accused of conspiring to launder billions of dollars in cryptocurrency stolen from a 2016 hack of a virtual currency exchange. Federal law enforcement officials say the recovered sum was linked to the hack of a virtual currency exchange whose systems were breached 6 years ago. Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco says the message to criminals is clear. Cryptocurrency is not a safe haven.
Number two.
Governor Kathy Hochul today is expected to drop New York's stringent indoor mask mandate, ending a requirement that businesses ask customers for proof of vaccination or require mask wearing at all times.
We've not seen these kind of numbers since November 8th.
It's unclear whether the governor would renew or drop a separate mask mandate in New York schools that expires in 2 weeks. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is also expected to drop his state's indoor mask mandate.
Number three.
The House has passed a funding bill that would prevent a government shutdown later this month, sending the measure to the Senate. Congress faces a February 18th deadline to avoid a lapse in federal funding. The bill approved by the House would keep the government running at current levels through March 11th. Doug Emhoff, the husband of Vice President Kamala Harris, was whisked out of an event yesterday at a Washington high school by Secret Service agents following a bomb threat. Emhoff was at Dunbar High School to help commemorate Black History Month when a member of his security detail approached him saying, "We have to go." Emhoff was hustled out to his waiting motorcade and whisked away. The Secret Service says there was no information on that the threat was directed at Emhoff. Wagering on the Super Bowl is going to be staggering. Analysts at PlayUSA say legal wagers will hit $1 billion, double last year's total. The surge will be powered by a couple of things. More states have legalized online betting, and sportsbooks like DraftKings and FanDuel are in constant competition to draw in new customers with free bet promotions and deposit matching initiatives. If you add illegal wagers, the amount soars to $7.6 billion. A whopping 31.4 million Americans are expected to play some kind of wager on the game.
What about buying boxes?
That's a wager.
Is that a wager?
Absolutely.
I'm 10 bucks
deep.
You're in.
You're in the 34.1 million.
With terrible numbers, by the way. Thanks, Jen. Singer Billie Eilish stopped her concert in Atlanta this past Saturday to make sure a fan who was having trouble breathing received proper medical care. In a clip that's gone viral, the 20-year-old Ms. Eilish asked the fan if she needed an inhaler. Ms. Eilish, who's been traveling for her Happier Than Ever tour, then asked if there was an inhaler in the room, adding, "Can we grab one?" A video posted on Instagram also captured the singer comforting fans as the situation played out. She said, it's okay, we've got an inhaler." Other footage from the concert shows the bad guy singer asking the fan directly if she had to come out and if she was okay before blowing a kiss and mouthing the words, "I love you." This isn't the first time Ms. Eilish has paused her performance to make sure her fans were safe and healthy. The singer stopped her show at the Governor's Ball Music Festival in New York City in September of last year to ask security to intervene in a situation breaking out in the crowd. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.